Hello and welcome to Notcast episode 154, recorded on Friday, September 23rd, 2011. I'm your host, Saverin. Alongside me are...
Oh, token female, Webster. Hi.
And Shiva.
Yay. Yes, it is the first day of fall here in Texas, and oh my gosh, does it feel nice.
It has been a shitty summer, and this is glorious.
Yes. I mean, it's still warm by some accounts.
It's 73 out now.
It's in the 70s. I mean, it's going to be reaching the highs of mid-90s still, as it slowly dips towards fall. But, oh, man.
And it rained.
70s.
Yeah, I know. It's...
I bet the rain helped a lot with the firefighters.
Our listeners are probably going, why are you guys going on about the weather? It's like, we've had a month of 100-plus weather. Well, it's closer to two.
I think it's, this is, in DFW, it was the hottest summer on record.
So, having it below, after this past month, when it got down into the high 90s, it's like, oh, this isn't so bad. Down to 90, it's like, oh, it's almost balmy out. It's like 93, and it's feeling really nice.
Yeah.
Holy crap, have our perceptions skewed.
It's like, man, it's hitting 90. I better put on a jacket. You know?
That walking outside to the warm 111-degree blast of humidity. Actually, no humidity. We didn't get rain for a long time.
Yep.
And Texas has been on fire.
And Texas is still on fire. So.
It's less on fire.
It's less on fire here, though. So, sucks if you live anywhere rural. And if you have a volunteer fire department, well, make sure you thank Rick Perry for slashing your budgets by 75%. And then claiming the government should pay for it. Mm. Oh, Texas government. Texas politics are so dumb. And I'm so glad that Perry is, like, a class F retard. And, you know, he's fumbled through so many things, people are kind of like, oh, wow.
He's a laughing stock.
He's a doof. Oh, but the new Apostolic Reformation guys, they're like, oh, but he's the anointed of God. No, it looks like the Mormon is this time. Sorry. But we're not here to talk about politics or the weather. We're here to read your emails and talk about life and about the crazy shit that's been going on here for us.
Because so, the world is full of crazy.
The world is full of crazy. Shiva's been having a bit of crazy stuff. Thankfully, I'm okay. I mean, me personally, me, Saverin, life is good. And I feel bad because all of my friends have just had all this crazy shit happen to them lately.
Well, my mate has finally, now the ex-mate, has finally gone back home to Australia. It's me and just my other mate now, and life, thankfully, is starting to settle down and get back to normal. Starting to stabilize, thank God, after 3 months of just on edge, trying not to have fights until he moved out. But things are really starting to upswing. Just last night, I went to the Weird Al show here in Grand Prairie, and it's the second time I've seen his live show, and it was really, really good. He did a bunch of favorites. The crowd was really into it. He did costume changes for almost every one of his live acts.
Awesome.
I mean, all the classics. He did Amish Paradise. He did White and Nerdy. He did the new Perform This Way. And, yeah, they were all really, really well performed.
Classic Weird Al, yeah.
More than that, we managed to... Are you okay? Your chair almost dumped you.
I hit the release valve on my chair and, like, fell a foot.
Oh.
Like, oh, my God.
So I managed to score really good seats for the show. We were in, like, the back row of the orchestra pit. So we were right there near one of the center aisles. And there's one of the ones where he just sings horrible pickup lines. And he comes out in this, like, red and black tiger-striped lounge suit. And he just comes down the aisles and sings bad pickup lines at the girls in the audience up and down the aisles. So he goes up the one side, across the back row, and starts coming back down. And we're, like, six people from that aisle. So he's like less than 10 feet away. He's, you know, like six seats away. And he just comes down the aisle. It's like, oh my God, I got to see Weird Al that close. It was so cool. And I took photos, and unfortunately the photos of him being super close, none of them came out. They're all blurry and crappy. It's like,
yeah.
But it was still cool. It's like, wow, he's right there.
Yeah.
Just had a good time, wrapped up decent hour, and then I came home and like bounced for a couple hours because winding down after a concert is hard,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're like talking about it with your friends and everything else like that.
Yeah. In Fuzz News.
Oh.
Go
from a high note to
a low. Yeah, go from a high note to a low note, but it is something that people probably are interested to know. So, as we've said, Fuzz's mom is very ill.
Very.
She has cancer. And as he tweeted publicly,
mm-hmm.
his mom's cancer is terminal, and she probably has about 6 months to live. So, there's your downer.
He's in Florida. He hasn't said when he's coming home or if he's coming home while this is going on.
You know,
I don't know if he knows at this point, but the news is bad. So he could use every well wish out there.
Yeah, because this is obviously very hard. I mean, losing a parent is a terrible thing. And, you know, cancer's a bitch. It just is. So keep in your thoughts. Maybe, you know, this is also going to be financially straining, so maybe at some point we'll see
do
if
a
we
drive.
Do a bit of a drive to help them out.
Because he's had to take a leave from work, it's just Taryn working. He's had to take a leave from work, go out there, take care of his mom, and...
Yeah, I mean, and he's not working, and it's, you know, costing him money to be out there, so...
It's a double downer.
Yeah. It is a rough time for the cast.
So, as far as I know, he'll be back eventually. We just don't know when.
Yep.
And if it means that he gets to stay out there and see his mom for a little while, it may be a long time. And God bless if it is, because I hope his mom holds on.
So, yeah. The future is hazy. But, you know, we're still going to be doing the show. And we're still going to be talking, taking your emails. And, you know, it's just going to be a little bit less dynamic than it was before. Because there's less people. But, yeah, deal with it and keep on going. Stiff upper lip. Have some tea. Pip pip cheerio. So.
And just wait for the day when the cast is reunited.
It'll be a glorious return.
Something like that. So, Shiva, how about you read an email?
I'll try and find one a little bit more upbeat. Let's see.
Yes, happiness. We have lots of nice short little emails.
Okay.
Y'all, I mean, it's been 2 weeks, but they sent us quite a few.
Let's see. Coercing a friend to the dark side. To the Sheriffs of Nottingham. I'm a fairly new listener to this show, and I've started listening at the beginning of August and have been slowly working my way through the archives, up to episode 70 at this point, due to a bored summer with not much else to do. Anyway, to the reason for writing in, is turning a friend furry a good idea? Let me set the scene. I've been living with this friend from university for a little over a year, and in that time he found out with me being furry. Thankfully he was cool with it, as well as with me being gay. He was kind of the shoulder I ended up crying on when my last boyfriend broke up with me. Still later that year, he started telling me about his spiritualist belief. I mentioned I'd been reading a webcomic that goes into a lot of the things he was talking about called Concession. To my surprise, he actually ended up reading the entire thing in the coming week. We joked about the comic over the next couple weeks, and I figured that was the end of it. Then yesterday happened. After he'd moved in, he decided to question me about the picture currently on my desktop, a picture of Buddy had done by Mary Mouse. A picture of Buddy done by Mary Mouse.
Buddy being a proper noun, name of a character.
Oh, it's not capitalized, so it's like, okay. All right. I, being ruthlessly honest guy that I am, told him the picture was of a fursuiter and showed him the YouTube clip of Buddy being his usual adorable self. Unbelievably, he not only didn't freak out and call me insane, he actually started asking about fursuiting. After my best attempt at explaining it and showing him a few of my favorite suitors, as well as some Anthrocon videos, he told me he really liked the idea, and if he ever had the money to get him a fursuit, he would, and even more crazily, they'd actually considered going to a con. He then started throwing some fairly choice questions at me, including the classic, what animal would fit me? I told him a couple times I wasn't trying to turn him into a furry, to which he told me he'd always been into this sort of stuff, but never knew about the fandom. I know that sounds like a pretty easy question, but here comes the biggest but in the universe. He's engaged. He and his fiancée are long distance at the moment and intend to get married and move in together when they both finish uni about 2 years from now. I've only met her twice when she'd come to stay, and she's not found out about me being a furry to the best of my knowledge. I don't even know he's told her about the few days he spent going through the entire concession archive. So here's my question. Should I prefer this newfound furriness of my friends, or should I just let it lie? Sorry for verging on a wall of text, an anonymous husky. If you do this, read this in hairs, please let me know so I can skip ahead so we can drop them in an email.
Okay.
Let your friend make the call. I mean, yeah. That's like suddenly a friend deciding he really, really likes motorcycles and he never knew he really, really liked them before, you know, or at least that there weren't bike riding clubs. Let him, you know.
Just like with any fandom, sometimes it's good to let other people that are joining it go at their own pace. With the furry fandom, I'm going to say this, and maybe controversial. Ooh. Try to steer him away from the fetish communities. For fuck's sake, don't freak out your friend. Normal and cute. Merry Mouse. Thorn. Cute. Not the porny, over porn, double porn. 37 dicks and 5 tits. Furry art. For fuck's sake. You know, if you want to give people a good impression, if they're new, try to get them more on the art aspect in the fursuiting than just being like, oh, dude, check out this awesome pic by, you know, insert porn artist here. Because, I mean, eventually I'm sure that anybody involved furry can't get away from it. It's over-sexualized, in my opinion. But, you know, if they're new to it, try to show them that it does have artistic value, too. Rather than it being a 24/7 smorgasbord of porn.
Yeah.
I had a boss once ask me what interested me about this particular style of art. And I actually brought a couple of some really well done, I think it was Dark Natasha pieces, and some random, I don't know if you've seen my Catman in the Woods.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I brought that and showed him that. And he said that he was... Basically, he made the comment that he could see why some people might look at it and say that it's not artistic because of the subject matter, even though this was just straight up characters, but that that he could see the skill and the artistry that went into it and see the fantasy element to it and why that might appeal.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there's so many angles you can come at, you know, the furry fandom too, whether you're a fan of animation, fan of fursuiting, fan of various other things.
You like toony or realistic or anywhere in between or anime style, there's, you know, all different flavors.
Yeah. So should you push him in a direction? Only if that direction is to the more artistic. For the love of God, don't shove porn in his face, please.
And just give him taste. If he wants more of it, steer him. If he doesn't, then don't go, oh God, you have to see this. No, you just haven't found the right thing. Yeah. No, just
because furry is just one interest among many for this guy. So don't, you know, try to make it overtake his life.
And again, it's coming down to you're coming out as a furry rather than just introducing it as another interest. And it comes down to if you act like you're ashamed of it, that's going to kind of taint everything else. I mean, a Merry Mouse drawing.
Merry Mouse is adorable.
Yeah, well, she's my favorite. I've got very few badges, and Mary's my favorite. That's what I use for all my icons everywhere. And there's no reason you should ever be ashamed of anything that Mary Mouse did. It's cute. It's toony. It's right up there with any of the other, you know, Darkwing Duck, Disney-esque. It's very tame. It's very peachy. No one should ever be worried about showing anybody a Mary Mouse drawing.
Yep. So, yeah. I mean, it. Of course, now people are going to be like, oh, God, they're so down on the fandom. God. Because we're like, you know, trying to put all these caveats. But really, I mean, you want to put on a good first impression. That's basically it. So, do you have anything to add, Poster?
It's just that it's a fandom. Let him have fun with it. He'll go where he will with it, and he won't go where he won't with it.
Yep. So. All right, so...
Are we going Wittershins?
Yes. Webster, it's your turn.
Okay.
You're on the spot. Your turn.
So, up one more from the...
Just pick one.
Okay. Just to clarify...
Except from the one titled The Loose Problem.
That one's
for a little bit later.
Okay. Well, the next one up says, just to clarify, hello, Notcast crew. I'm writing in this week to seek clarification on the pronunciation of the word Chakat. 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 Really, that's all. I'll try to make it up to you guys next week. Sincerely, Tenugai. P.S. Should I read the P.S.? I'm guessing. Yeah. I'd like to send my thoughts and best wishes to Fuzz during this difficult time.
Oh, that's fine. I've talked to Goldver in person, the actual creator. Trying to remember. It's been like a long time since I last saw him. I think he pronounces it Chakat. So, again, it's been a really long time, but I've seen it. Chakat.
Chickens.
Yes. It's a made up word. There's some ways to mispronounce it, but not many.
Yep. All right. So, art portfolios. Dun, dun, dun. Hello, people. I am a growing 3D artist, and I'm trying to build up a portfolio of work that would gain enough justice to enlist for a school. Lately, I've had the ideas for creating something furry, think Taran Fox, but I've been trying to lean myself off the idea of creating porn, let alone furry porn, for a portfolio that I'd be presenting to enlist for a 3-year computer animation course. In truth, the real options are... create the project and include it, hoping the representatives that are crucially choosing who gets enlisted will overlook the fact that it is porn and find it of good quality. Create the project, but do not include it, which, although would be removing the drama of having the ideas and slight urges to make something furry, would take up a large amount of my time and could possibly set me back too far to not come out with proper material come time of enlistment. Or completely ignore the idea and try to block the strong ideas out of my head and continue to work on the other ideas I have. Thanks a lot. Name redacted. P.S. If you're looking for a fairly engaging FPS and a nostalgia bomb in one, try out Marathon by Bungie. Yay!
Dude, and I say this after going through the art school process, no porn. No pinups, nothing to... maybe bikini shots, but nothing showing tits, ass, or cock.
Yeah. Seriously, if you're going to do... if you want to do this as a serious endeavor, don't... horn it up.
Yeah, you will have to do this as a separate side job and fit it in where you can, because not cool. Will not be liked.
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, porn of any stripe, I mean, I don't even know if schools would, like, accept that. I mean, I don't know. I'm obviously not an artist. But it's like, that seems like a really bad idea.
If it's a classic style, like you were trying to...
Venus de Milo.
Yeah.
A naked furry with no arms.
Or like My Cat Boy in the Woods, which has that ever so subtle hint there.
Well, if you were doing something like the Venus de Milo comes to life, or, you know, some take on like Greek statuary, that might fly. You know, where you're doing something, a rendition of something that's very... blatantly a take on classic, especially a well-known classic, that might be okay. But that's about the limit of what you're going to be doing.
And actually, you can just look, there's squidoo.com, or if you just look up art school portfolio requirements, you can look at some of these guys. And certain things seem to be broken. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, I'd be sure to be really careful reading the requirements, what's allowed and what's not allowed. But from a personal point of view, stay away from the porn. Maybe. Let your art stand beyond its titillation factor.
Classic nudity is one thing, and it might be stretching it all on out porn. No.
Yeah. It just seems like a bad idea.
Okay.
Shiva, another email.
Let's see. Follow up on long distance to right next door. This is a guy that moved to Canada to be with this girl and went to school up there. He was like middle of last episode, I think. Hey, Notcast. I got to talk to my girlfriend the other day, and I was really able to consider where we were in the relationship. She, too, said that there were some rough parts to our first meeting, but she still feels that we have something. And I feel we have something, too. She feels that I'm a good guy, if a bit immature, which is understandable, and a bit standoffish. I kind of got more of a feeling along the lines of what Shiva said. It's not some crazy, heart-pounding spiral of love, but closer than close friendship that fills me with constant warmth. I now know that I love her, and I'm willing to work things out between the both of us with more transparency and openness in my heart. We've planned to spend the coming weekend together and get more talking done face-to-face. In my opinion, it's more of an adjusting period. The idealized version of the other that we were holding in our minds versus the real deal. There's still plenty that I love about her, and she's already grown on me now that I've had a good time to think about our first meeting. Thank you for weighing in, guys, especially you, Shiva. Cheers, Jason CD. Well, I'm glad we were able to help.
Good to hear. And Shiva, you're so very helpful. I mean, it says so right there.
Yay.
I'm handy. I've got more than two.
Yep, you're getting them props. And also, she said it. So do continue. Read an email.
Okay.
She has to find one.
Yep.
So, mobile furs.
Yay!
Oh! Sup, dogs, foxes, and or Tetris blocks. It's that trucking fox from the upper Midwest here again. Most unexpected place I've met another fur. I guess this would be my only chance meeting outside of a con or already knowing one from online. I had only been in the fandom for a couple of weeks, so I was still going through the OMG, what the WTF, BBQ, this is so cool phase. I had been browsing a furry site, family-friendly, as I was in the driver's lounge at work with my laptop. Still unsure of how the general public would take it and how I should react to it, I was being cautious anyway and went to another page when someone came in to sit near me. We were watching the TV, and I started idly poking around the laptop again, not doing much in particular when I closed all my windows. Of course, I had to have a furry background, one that the other guy happened to recognize. All of a sudden, he just asked me out of the blue, "How long have you been a furry?" Apparently, I was fairly shocked. Well, more surprised than anything, but he said that my face went pretty white. I'm just glad there was no one else in the room. After talking for a bit, he seemed pretty cool and had a good time of it. He said when he first walked in the lounge, something was throwing up a red flag, even though he couldn't see my screen at that point. After that, and a few other stories I've seen, I've become convinced that Furdar, furry radar, does exist in some way. I've since found a fair number of other trucker furs, and I also heard last week when Saverin gave the shout-out to the trucker couple. I drive by myself, but I can safely say that it can be hard for a couple to be able both to live and drive in the same truck, and one of them not want to leave the other on the side of the road. Congrats to them, and thanks to you guys for helping those late-night miles seem not so long. Narai. P.S. Saverin did pronounce my name right last time. I suck at phonetic spelling, so rhyming it with party was the closest I could come up with. So, Nari.
There we go.
Yay.
That's cool. Yeah, that fits our topic of unexpected places. Trucker furs, because why not? It's pretty cool, though.
Fandom is everywhere.
Yep.
One of us.
Okay, so, dear furry sages, following the theme from our furs and unexpected places, if you want surprising finds, try organized Middle Eastern furry communities. I found a small one that has a few meets a year, as well as representation at EF and an Anthrochat IRC channel. I never thought there'd be anything organized, so that was a neat surprise. Also, down in Australia, you can find furs at pretty much any anime convention, and I've heard of similar about one or two US cons as well. Do you know if this is a common occurrence, or have you just been in the right place at the right time consistently? Thanks again for all the help you guys and gals provide, and for generally being awesome. Regards, Cluffy. Happily made it, if guitars count. Middle Eastern MLP? Sure. I mean, they've got internet too in some parts of it. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's UAE and Dubai first. Israel.
You just said Middle Eastern MLP.
Oh, no. Let it stand. Let it stand.
That has to stay.
No, no. Keep it. You slipped.
There actually are Middle Eastern MLP fans, too, actually. But also furries. See, oh, God. My brain is not thinking on this show. It's thinking the other one. Aww. So, yes, there are, in fact, furries in the Middle East. There are pony fans in the Middle East, too. There are nerds in the Middle East.
There are nerds everywhere.
Like, if there's internet, there's nerds, and all of our Western decadence will eventually overtake them. But they have to have the internet first. furs at anime conventions. I mean, that's been kind of a thing forever, though.
Many, many moons.
I mean, furry started as an offshoot of the sci-fi con scene back in the 80s, so.
Back in the day.
Yeah, actually before the 80s.
Well, and I know that I went to A-Con for years for a while, and every year at the art show I would pick up a piece of art by Teresa Mather. And when that first year when I did the, helped with the art show at Furry Fiesta, and we had Teresa Mather sign up, and I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, it's Teresa Mather, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, it's a good way for furry fans to meet anywhere that there's not a furry con. I mean, there's not a ton of furry conventions, but there sure are a lot of anime ones.
Also,
or sci-fi,
also,
or comic book.
Anime and catgirls.
Yeah. Hmm. I wonder just how much Maress had in getting people interested in feline aliens in Star Trek.
Maress? Eh.
She was in the 70s cartoon.
Yeah.
Hmm. Catwoman from outer space. Blame it on Star Trek.
Well, sci-fi fantasy in general.
Yeah.
Shapeshifters and...
Going to distant planets, killing aliens, and or fucking them.
That's Kirk.
And a lot of sci-fi.
That too.
All right. So, let's see. How many emails do we have left?
A few.
A few. 9. So let's read, like, 2 more.
Mm-hmm.
1 more, and then, I guess, Webster, you get to read the loose problem email.
Oh, yay.
But just read it straight. Don't be wacky with it.
Okay.
So, Shiva, though, it is your turn.
I mustn't.
Let me refresh. Okay, so we got that one. Let's see.
Dead Air is so exciting.
Oh, shush. I'm just looking for a good one.
I liked the title of the one that was right above the last one. That amused me.
Yes.
It's like, I'm coming out.
Oh, my God. You're That's coming
the
out.
The, this one.
Okay. let's see. From Tiny the Dragon. I think I'm straight. Good day, nutcasters and guests, if present.
You're present.
I am. Are you accounted for?
Huh? Am I accounted for? I don't know. I haven't pulled out QuickBooks and seen if I'm... Actually, do I get to be a token female if you're on?
Yes, because all guests are token females regardless of gender.
Okay, well...
Shiva is a co-host.
Hostess.
All right, first off, I would like to say that Fuzzwolf has my most sincere condolences for his mother. Now for the main reason I'm writing in. I would like your opinion on whether or not I should be gay or straight. I've never actually been in a relationship. I would seem to lean towards women. But I have a strange thing for shoving plastic up my ass and having a female shove a strap-on in me. I have over 1,000 pics in porn, grumble, grumble. About 80% of it is gay, 15 straight, and 5 lesbian. P.S. I hope you guys coming to the show, continue the show for many more years. Okay. P.S.S. for the sexist voice. I think you mean sexiest. I would have to say Shiva. She actually sounds like a cross between Ellen DeGeneres and one of my aunts. If for some reason Shiva reads my emails, it's okay if you fuck it up. It livens up the mood. I'm glad I was, you know, allowed. Mm-hmm. Yours truly, Tiny the Pink Dragon, or just Tiny the Dragon. I'm glad I was able to fuck it up for you.
Wow, okay, so I see that you redacted a line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Which line? What was it?
I'll show you.
We're not going to read it because we redacted it.
I wanted to see it.
Should I go get the redacting Sharpie? I'm sure Panther would love that.
I think Panther would be most cross if you're redacting... If you're redacting Sharpie to his iPad.
No, his gestures confirm that. Oh, dear.
He is pointing angrily at them.
And gesturing and making face.
At you. At you. You are the one who said that.
Okay, so anyways.
He's looking for the doorknob cane.
Well, here it comes.
No shield.
That's actually a pretty decent shield. I don't think he's going to break it.
Well, Panther has the doorknob cane in case these women get out of line.
In case I get the Sharpie.
So, anyways, whether you should be gay or straight.
Dude, you could be just be bi.
You could be bi.
And until you actually have a relationship, it's going to be a hard call because in that point, it's just theory. You may start to get in something with a dude and discover, you know, penis in real life is not as nearly as hot as I thought it would be. Sometimes that happens.
I've always wondered when people do the question of, does being pegged make me gay?
No.
Does pegging make the woman a man? Does it change her chromosomes?
It certainly doesn't get rid of the tits. They don't magically just shrivel up and become flat, you know? The innie does not fill in.
You? Well, that depends on... Never mind.
No, you go with bi and wait until you get practical experience and then be able to make your call. And over time, your taste might change and you may be bi now, gay later. So,
yeah.
Things change. So do you. Don't sweat on it. Get some practical experience.
You can also be bi in theory.
Yeah.
I think of myself as mostly functionally straight.
Let's see. Where is it? Where's the one for her? Oh, here it is.
Oh, yes.
Hold on. Let me archive this one. And here is yours.
Okay. And you said no wackiness?
No wackiness.
No wackiness. Dear Notcast, sorry for a lack of witty introduction. Love the show, long-time listener, first-time writer. I have a problem that I like some advice on that is most likely non-topical. About a year ago, I met the most wonderful fur in the world, and after several visits and 6 months of online chatting, we moved in together. Up to this point, we still hadn't had sex, and I was still a virgin. Well, all of that changed yesterday. That's where the problem comes in. He lubed up, and he slid in effortlessly, and I barely felt him. Today, I overheard a conversation with him and one of his friends discussing the previous night, and I was described with the words hot dog and hallway. I knew exactly why, and it isn't him, it's me.
Wow.
While pawing off as a red badge, I decided to try my very first dildo, a Zeta Creations Timberwolf. I stretched a bit first, and it felt great, and I got excited, and I decided to try for the knot. Big mistake. There was a bit of blood and lots of pain. Mm-hmm. That's right, folks. I went too fast and tore my sphincter, and being too embarrassed and imagining the drama that would ensue when my family found out that I needed to go to the hospital and why... I just dealt with the pain and went on my way until it healed on its own, leaving me loose, but still functional. Fast forward to the present. I love my mate dearly, but I'm not sure what to do. Is there anything I can do, short of surgery? I'll be having a talk with my mate about this rather soon, once the pain from his comment loses a bit of its sting, but I'd still appreciate any advice you can give. You don't have to read this on air, but I'd still love a reply. Jonathan Fox. P.S. St. Louis isn't nearly as bad as a certain Fennec described it. It's the most gay-friendly place I've ever seen and oozes a classic gothic feeling. Think Gotham City.
Well, it's East St. Louis that's scary stab town.
I think I've driven through St. Louis, waved to the arch on my way by, and that's just maybe the most I did.
St. Louis is fine. It's an old city. I mean, it's just nothing spectacular, but I don't live there. They have a nice zoo. I like the zoo.
Nothing spectacular. It's got the arch and the riverboats underneath the arch. I lived in St. Louis for a while, and I remember it fondly.
I know the zoo. The zoo is nice.
The Topeka Zoo is the one that I remember.
So, okay, so this is a case of your eyes are bigger than your butt. Much like eyes being bigger than your stomach, it can have unfortunate complications.
Yes.
With the stomach, you eat too much and you puke. You hurt your asshole. Well, I got some bad news and some bad news. So, unfortunately, your shame has presented you with a potentially disgustingly crippling problem later in life.
So, go see a doctor about it. It might not be too late.
Depending on how long it has been, you know, when this email came in, you know, it wasn't, it was, its style was a little off, but it had a sincere question. With anal sphincter injuries, these happen actually pretty frequently with women in childbirth, because it's shoving something too big, or in this case, shoving something out that's too big. And normally they have to get on that shit within 24 hours because it's not good.
It's kind of dicey to repair. So.
It's dicey to repair. And, you know, the potential for infection. I mean, honestly, the potential for infection when you injured yourself like that, I mean, you could have died. Just, you could have just gotten some horrifying infection and died.
So if you hurt yourself that way, go to a doctor. Don't hesitate.
And, while you're functional now, think about it when you get older and lose muscle tone.
Mm-hmm.
They do surgically repair anuses. It is possible. According to the research I did, actually I had to look shit up for this one. I mean, seriously, I was like, wow, this is a weird question. They're only about 80% successful. So, I mean, hot dog down a hallway. A, your boyfriend's being kind of a douche.
Yes.
B, you made a bad decision and you hurt yourself and you didn't get it checked out because you were ashamed, which, terrible idea.
But go in. Have it looked at. See if they can do anything for you.
I mean, and worst case, there, go and look in your cities or regions. I mean, you're in St. Louis, so you're in a major city. Go online, look up, you know, Gay Men's Health, not Dallas. You're not in Dallas, you're in St. Louis. And there are doctors who are, you know, known as being friendly to the gay community, and they are probably a little bit more versed to dildo injuries or whatever injuries that, or just Gay Men's Health in general. So I would recommend looking up somebody off that and going to see them because
they've seen it before.
They've seen it before. And I mean, your boyfriend's comment is insensitive. You should probably come clean with why. You should probably get that checked out.
And he probably didn't mean it for your ears anyway.
Yeah.
So.
He's still being kind of a, it's kind of a jerk. Douche, I mean, you could just have a big, you know, rectum.
Well, also think about it in terms of if, and this is a little less because, you know, he doesn't know the history, but if a man were to say something about a woman's having regular sex, having vaginal sex, 3 weeks after or a month after she's given birth, that's like ultimate douchery.
Yeah.
So if you change some genders in that, it becomes perceived as a much worse situation, mm-hmm. a much worse comment.
You know. Orifices vary widely, but in your case, get it checked out.
Okay.
So, on that delightful note, we're going to go to a music break. This week's song is titled, if I can find it, I had it pulled up here, Nights Into Dreams, Tomorrow Should Have Been Last Night, an OC remix done by Dragon Avenger and OA. Enjoy. Thank you. And we're back. So, AdamandEve.com.
It's a place.
It's where a they place think. Where you can buy stuff to stick in you.
Awesome stuff.
And what's this week's item, Shiva?
It's actually very pretty. It is Blue Blossom Glass Benoit Balls. They look like little glass spheres with, like, flowers. It looks like a blown glass, crap, me and my word failure, paperweight. It's got, like, a bit of blue and yellow glass in the middle. It looks like a flower. It's very pretty. So, if nothing else, you could give it to your mom and not tell them what they actually are. And she'd go, oh, these are so pretty. They're like little hand massagers. And you don't have to tell her that they go in her cooter. Anywho, the price is $19.95, but with our coupon code not KNOT. Let's see if I can remember it, because usually you rattle this off. Let's see, they get 50% off.
One item.
Free shipping. A mystery gift. Is it 3 DVDs?
Last I checked, yep.
3 DVDs of porn. Is that everything?
Yep, and free shipping in the continental U.S.
So not Hawaii and not Alaska?
Yep, and not warning, international.
And warning, Mississippi may keep your porn.
Yep.
They don't like you mailing that shit.
Man, the postmaster that gets all the out-of-state mail and has to check packages for porn, I bet he has a huge collection.
So my ex-mate's father used to work customs for Australia. So they were in charge of catching all the stuff that was not supposed to come into the country. And they're supposed to keep it from coming into the country. Frequently, this would result in it coming into the country, only not through official channels. They got several things that way. Sometimes it was just bring it in, watch it, whatever else it was. But sometimes it was movies or other stuff that wasn't banned in there. Usually they bring it home, watch it, take it back to the office, and put it in the destruction bin. But yeah, sometimes people who are supposed to be stopping just hijack. So I'm wondering about all those postmasters with excellent porn collections.
I wonder what other states have that kind of restriction.
I don't know. If anybody has heard that there are states like that, let us know, because we didn't know about that in Mississippi until we had a reader share.
My mom discovered just this morning that there are states that you can't sell sex toys in.
Oh, yeah. Texas used to be one of them. They used to be, what, party gifts and...
Cake toppers.
Yes.
That must be a hell of a cake. That's all I have to say. This giant black veiny cock sticking off the top of it, wibbling in the wind.
It's a cosplay device.
It's a novelty gift.
Yeah.
For your cooter.
Yeah, she was shocked and horrified that in 2011 there are places where you can't buy sex toys.
Can you get them shipped there, or do they just not have stores?
No, they have to be sold as novelty items and things like that.
It was only a couple years ago where it stopped here.
But they did actually stop it?
Yeah, because now we've got... Oh, like New Fine Arts and such that actually set up proper shops.
Okay.
Yeah, here in Dallas, they don't give a single fuck. There's dildo stores all over the place.
Condoms to go.
Well, not all over the place, but as a...
Well, they were around before the change.
Yeah, as a statistical function in the city, they are in a much higher concentration than other similar cities there. Because there's two within, like, 2 miles of here.
And one just popped up on my drive home, Condom Nation.
Well, yes. They've been into, like, the Condoms to Go, and they're nothing.
Well, then there's the Condoms to Go off Preston, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay, but I've been down to... Have you been to New Fine Arts?
Mm-mm.
It's off 12.
You need to go down. I think there's two of them, but New Fine Arts, giant, brightly lit, well laid out. I mean, it's not some dingy, dirty little hole.
It's the sort of place where you would have minimal embarrassment going in and saying, I want to do this.
Well,
what will let me?
Usually a decent crowd. You're not the only shopper, but everybody's doing the exact same thing you are,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's really giving a fuck.
See, you know, shame is such an overrated thing. Walk in like you own the fucking joint. Buy your porn and be like, I'm going to masturbate furiously to this. I hope you like that. And they'll be like, well, sir, I hope you enjoy.
But sir, you forget, I have been societally trained to be ashamed of myself.
You walk up, you grab the dildo off the counter, you put it, you walk up, and I'll need two packs of batteries, and I'm going to stick this in my cooter tonight.
It's like, my cake will not be able to repel dongs of this man's magnitude.
Nah. No, I've actually gone in and had those conversations, so it's not...
Well, see, that's the thing, like,
it's not actually... People have
said it on the show before, that if you're going to a store like that for the purpose of purchasing a toy or video or anything I sell, the people that work there, they've heard pretty much everything, mm-hmm. and they're going to give you straight-up honest advice. They're not going to titter and, you know, go post about it on Twitter.
And sometimes they're just like, oh, God, they're tired of it, like the employees of Walmart are. They've seen it. They've done it. They've had a long day. They don't give a fuck. The best one I ever went to is this little shop up in Bloomington. It was run by a lady. It was very much targeted towards ladies. And she asked what you like, what you don't like. You know, do you like this? Do you like that? Does this squick you? And she very much listened to you and steered you to things to try. Mm-hmm. You know, you won't go wrong with this toy. You probably don't want these. Have you seen this one? And she listened and gave really good advice. It's not just a couple of people hanging around behind a desk going. It was a lady actually listening and giving salient advice.
So a salesperson instead of a clerk.
Yeah, and really involved too. It was disturbing that we were talking dildos. But
not really.
Well, it is when you just moved out of the bumfuck New Hampshire, and it's kind of your second trip ever into a sex toy shop. And the first one was a skeevy one with a booth and kind of sticky floors. And this is this was nicely dimly lit, had, you know, nice soft curtains, candles. It was a chick sex shop.
There's a small cluster of adult shops in Arlington around Loop 820 and 20, now near like the Parks Mall, that juncture of mm-hmm. like Mansfield. That is like the skeeviest trio of porn shops ever.
Siam, there's one. It used to be right down on 635. I forgot what he went in there looking for, but he was in there and he got propositioned by like three different old men asking if he wanted to go watch a movie with them.
Wow.
It's like, and he's like, what the fuck? Wow. I'm looking at straight porn, and I got guys, I'm out of here. See? And it was old guys. We're talking 50s, 60s, and he was in his late 20s at that point in time.
Old dudes have needs, too.
I know. But he's like, is what is it about me that says I want to watch a movie with you?
those around there, God, they were skeevy as fuck. There was one that was actually okay, and the other two were kind of off by themselves. They were old, badly lit. They had all the VHS boxes with a million different scenes that are not in the movie plastered in the mm-hmm. on the front of them. They had both, you know, they're all sorted. Mm-hmm. They had like a small dildo selection. What was bad is there used to be one out in Lake Worth that the local fundies got a bug up their ass about, and they would take photos of people's cars, and apparently they had a dirty contact in the police force or whatever. They could look up the ownership of the vehicle, and they would mail photos of their car at the porn shop to the person's house or place of employment if they could figure it out to try to cause trouble for them.
That's insane.
That's just wrong.
And then, of course, for most people, it's like, well, yeah, I was buying a dong for my wife. But, I mean, I'm just like, bitches and whores, goddamn.
Really? Mm-hmm. See, when I moved into Dallas, I wound up moving crazy downtown near Jupiter and Southwest Highway. Not crazy downtown, but crazy neighborhood down by Jupiter and Northwest Highway. And there was a Condoms to Go there. And I tried to get my dude to go to the Condoms to Go with me, because I'd never been to a store like that, and I wanted to see what it was like. And he wouldn't go, and he wouldn't go, and he wouldn't go. I said, okay, I'm going on my own. And I did, and I wandered around. It was like, ooh, peppermints!
There's some funny shit in there.
Yeah.
There's funny, haha, like the peppermints, and there's suddenly like, oh my god, I'm never putting that in my body. Has anybody ever managed to put that in their body? Oh my god. So, yeah. Sex toys and sex swords.
Sex toys are great.
Yay.
Things to masturbate and stick in your body.
Or stick in other people's bodies.
Exactly. All right, so we should read an email.
I think it's your turn, and I will close out of Adam and Eve so I don't sully Panther's iPad anymore.
Wow. That's sad. He's not noticing,
so I don't think he appreciates the gesture.
Wow, look at that. Arcane mages are tiny gods once again.
Yay. Right?
Have you seen the rogue daggers?
Okay, so this is... Sorry, guys. We're going to talk about WoW for a second.
Oh.
I haven't played WoW in months, and I was browsing V, and somebody was talking about the new tier stuff. So I've looked and seen the new tier stuff for WoW. It looks pretty cool. I mean, I'll obviously never get it, because, Don't play WoW. But someone was like, oh god, you know, shamans, why? Like, basically complaining about shamans being shit. And I'm like, well, duh, I know if shamans are shit. And, like, the overall, stateofdps.com, be like, state of DPS, arcane mage, 30k. Then the highest shaman is something like 26. Then the highest, yeah. Like,
I mean,
mage, shadow priest, hunter.
What flavor
warlocks.
Shaman? Enhance or
elemental?
What's enhance at?
Enhance is like way down near the bottom.
Yeah, and guess what?
Slightly
I play?
Below warlock, slightly below destruction warlock, and slightly above arms warrior, which arms is PvP. Hunter, survival PvP. Unholy, it's PvP. Hunter beast mastery, that used to be pretty good. But then frost mage is 19,000 on. Oh, God. Where's the healing one? I don't know. I don't care.
But while you're looking, they've got just released a new legendary stuff for WoW. And they're only for rogues. And apparently they give you wings, like big bat wings. There you go.
Yep.
They look kind of cool. I'm just imagining that on like a little goblin.
Yeah.
That would be so entirely unimpressive.
All I'm going to say is that they took the Warlock Tier 6 wings and painted them black.
But yeah, there's some classes where that's just not going to be as impressive as on an elf. I like seeing some of the new tier stuff. I like the shaman shoulders. The head can go die in a fire. But I like the big dog skull shoulders.
Paladin looks...
Durfy.
Durfy as fuck.
It looks very alliance.
Then again, the poor paladins, they've had like... let's see. Tier 2 was great. Tier 4 looked good.
What's that third one?
Middle. That was tier 2.5 Avengers. It looked ridiculous. It was tier 3, basically. So, tier 2.5... Well, no, tier 3 was remixed tier 6, which is the pointy bits. But, yeah, it was ridiculous and looked awful. 4 was good. 6 was good.
Now, the ones towards the bottom look like something off the Elemental Lords, kind of.
Jesus fuck, really? Yeah, all the Fireland Raid ones look ridiculously retarded. So, I mean, like, the poor paladins, they've had such a shit run of luck with tier sets.
Mm-hmm.
10, I have to say that 10, pretty much across the board, was badass and awesome. And that nothing else since has looked anything other than ridiculous.
The one from Caddo for Mage where it looked like a skull... inside the hood. I like that. I heard a lot of people give it shit, but I actually really like that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Especially if you're a shadow priest.
Well, that was a mage.
I know, but... that thing.
Yeah, the mage... It's kind of funny, the mage Time Lord regalia. Really?
The quilted for your comfort.
It's quilted for my pleasure. And it has belts. And it has goggles on the head that glow,
for
but
no
I'm not
apparent.
Wearing.
There is a lot of glow.
Yes.
Very shiny.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. Time Lord. Ooh.
But it's quilted.
It's quilted.
I kind of like the little turquoise insets.
Yeah. I'm really not big on brown and turquoise mixing them.
Yeah. Mages, let's see. They had, tier one was good. Four, I loved. I had those shoulder plates for fucking ever, so I kind of like Stockholm Syndrome into loving them. I thought five was pretty slick. Six was pretty cool, even if you look like a lightning rod. Actually, mages have had a really good run of luck when it comes to that, because everything but the Fireland Raid one looked good.
I'm trying to remember which one for...
Well, after four.
The one from Wrath. Was it Wrath? There was one in... Actually, I think it came out end of BC for Shaman. It's the one that looked like a gray and blue electrical. I like that one.
Yeah.
I think that's tier six or seven.
Yeah. Sorry that we're just boring the shit out of y'all. I'm sure this is the point. But it's like, oh, wow. I haven't looked at this in a while. They have new armor. It's terrible.
There's purple.
Like
and blue.
That one, the Sky Shatter?
Yep.
Or seven, Earth Shatter?
Sky Shatter.
Do people actually show their shoulders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Shoulders are something you can't show. It's your helmet and bat and cloak. See, for the longest time, I had the 7.5. Before Old War, I had 7.5 all the way. And I wore that fucking helmet, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make them bigger than people's heads. They should make the shoulders something you can decide not to show.
Well, unfortunately, on orcs, that's just how they roll.
Mm.
Oh, God. I remember the time in, what was it, BC, where there was a glitch, and the orc shoulders got slightly smaller, and they were all QQ.
Well, no, the thing is, they were sized down to, like...
Normal proportions.
Normal proportions.
And they bitched. And they bitched until they got the gigantic shoulders back again.
Now, 10.5, non-heroic, the blue, that was fucking awesome.
I don't think I ever saw anybody in a full set of it.
I had it. I had the full set, and I thought I was boss. Then I quit. But even then, it was like, wow, I just love the look.
I like the druid ones where the different tiers where they had just the moon in the middle of the forehead.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure about the magic fruit shoulder pads, but...
The moon fruit.
Yeah.
And the moon hat.
Yes. I like the moon hat. It's about the only helm I ever showed, just because it didn't block the rest of the head.
So, anyways, back to our regularly scheduled furriness. We're going to quit looking at...
Well, it has cows. It's got big cows, and it's got wolves. I mean, it's kind of furry.
God, I bet that... Let's see. Since... Looking at rogues, because for some reason they showed up. Let's see.
I always like the Deathstalker ones. I think it's four. Alpha rogues.
There's four was Netherblade.
Is that the one with the face mask?
Night Slayer looked kind of derf. Bloodfang was pretty slick. Death Dealers was derf. Netherblade looked retarded. Deathmantle looked pretty badass. It's the one with the skull mask.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. That's like Taskmaster. The one I always liked.
And you've got six and seven.
If I played a rogue, I would do nothing but grind for that one just so I could have, what was it, tier five?
Yeah. And now you can just go solo that shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good enough. Tier eight looks so bad.
I wonder if they would have been grinding for weeks to get this old armor so they can change the looks of their current stuff into it. I wonder if Blizzard's going to take polls on what ones are super popular. What do people like, and maybe learn from their mistakes?
Yeah. I don't know, but the fact that you have to have the physical piece of armor, because see, I personally would have transmogged all my stuff back to like the 10.5 Frostwitch, because I had that because I thought that set looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have to go back and grind all the way through.
Did you toss it?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh.
Because I had no bank space.
Oh. I've still got, like, every piece of tier I've ever had dropped, and it's in my bank.
Oh, well.
I don't have a lot of bank left.
Yeah, the day I disenchanted my tier 7.5 was a sad, sad day.
God bless you.
Sorry.
Earned that shit. Anyways, wow, we should get back to the show.
Enough wowing. Show? What?
Yeah, this is not a WoW cast. This is it's actually kind of hard when there's only one person here that plays WoW, and the one person that just like stopped and is kind of like eh. And one person who never played.
That's not true.
No, she's got an account.
Oh, that's right. She does.
I was in the beta before it came out.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, technically, I wasn't in the beta. A friend was in the beta who was awesome and made me play a character.
And you had one, like, in the Middle of Wrath I saw you on and playing. Yeah. So.
I have the collector's edition of all of them, and I've played them briefly and then lost interest.
It helps having people to play with.
Okay, the first go-round, I did not play briefly. I played obsessively for a couple of years. And then life got busy and I stopped.
It is such a time sink. It really is.
Okay, so here is the next email.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gonna go anonymous for this one, just in case. Diggory dear Knockcast. Yeah, I went strong bad on that one. Come on, guys, give me your best strong bad imitation. I'm typing with boxing gloves on. God, it's so old. And it's still going. It's crazy.
I know. I checked the other day. It's like, holy crap, it's Home still there, and still it's around. Still updating.
God. Anyways, oh yeah, that was good. Anyways, I actually have a serious question. See, I have this friend, and it's not a friend in the sense they're actually me, and I'm trying to third party, so I sound less asshole, less desperate, what have you, but an actual friend. See, this friend has been with this person, I'll call him Husky, on and off for a while now. I found out from my friend, let's call him T, that this and that they've reached a falling out. I've comforted T because despite some stuff that's been going on with my life, I can at least be there for my friends. Moreover, I encourage T to drop Husky like a bad habit. Coming from the T's perspective, Husky's been nothing more than a manipulative jackass, and T keeps taking Husky back because of those good times, which have lasted, oh, say, 10% of the relationship. So 2 days later, or today, T tells me that we, as in T and myself, have to talk. And that I'm not going to like the topic of discussion. Yep, you guessed it. He's considering taking Husky back. T seems to think that Husky will be better, but at least willing to consider things for 3 days. And he wants my help, where my advice has been consistently to get rid of Husky because he's bad news. Note, this is all, of course, online, and a master parent relationship with Husky is the pet irony of ironies. Oh my god.
So this is trying to get...
This is all online and master pet. Please. So here's where you guys come in, Knockcast. I'm sorry for blabbering on. Am I missing something? Is there some true nugget of goodness inside Husky that has been drawn out by teaching a self-described impatient person patience T wants to do? Am I wrong? Should I let them be together come what may? And most importantly, never going to give you up, never going to let you down, never going to run around and desert you? Question mark. I want to get as much humor in this one as possible, and I was on a roll. Anyways, help me out, Knockcast, especially you, Shiva. Bestow upon me your wondrous L-shaped nuggets of wisdom. May penetrate my skull and bring me power through knowledge. Thanks, Anonawolf. P.S. Cookies for everybody, two for Shiva if she reads this. Well, she only gets one.
We didn't get two cookies.
Apparently you have become the den mother of this show. You are the queen of this cast.
You've called me den mother for how long now?
Well, you're the one that said it.
No, you said it.
Where's it fuzz?
No, it was a listener that called me the den mother.
Yes, yes, of us crazies. So... Online relationship, master pet. The other guy's kind of a doof. It's online only. Should this guy take the other guy back?
Sure, why not? No, I'm being flippant.
You're not helping, Shiva.
You've told him this is a bad idea. Don't do it. Give this guy up. He ain't listening. I mean, you can only keep repeating yourself so many times, and if he don't listen, he's going to keep getting hurt. He's got to kind of learn on his own. You can give advice, you can't make him take it.
Yeah, so you can lead a fur to something, and you can't make them fuck? I don't know.
At least not... In most states.
Yes.
You can't make them fuck in every state.
In most countries, that's illegal.
This is one of those things where, okay, it's all online, so that just makes me sigh. It's master pet, which, again, makes me sigh.
Well, some people, that's their thing. Let them have their thing.
I know. It's their thing, and personally, I think it's retarded.
I had a fantastic dom-sub relationship that was mostly online, eventually some phone, and then one real-life meeting. Absolutely amazing and fantastic.
I mean, it's for some people. I just think that kind of... It's like, Friends with Benefits is great, but the whole master pet thing, I cannot grok it. I just simply cannot.
It's just another different kind of power play.
Yeah. So, anyways, personally, I mean, he's going to make his own mistake, like Shiva said. Yeah. And it's like, he's going to just tell him, it's like, look, it's, you know, you're on your own on this point. Cause
you can, best way I can do this, okay, we had cats as children. And mom and dad would say, be nice to the kitty. Kitty's going to scratch you. If you keep molesting kitty, you know, tug the tail, pull the fur. Kitty's going to get upset and he's going to take a swing. And lo and behold, cat gets mad, doesn't like me hauling on his tail, and turns around and takes a swing, and it does draw blood. It's like, I told you, kitty doesn't like that. If you keep, you know, it's going to hurt. You can only warn them so many times that what you're doing is not a good idea, and you're going to end up on the losing side of this. Until they learn not to pull the cat's tail, they're going to keep getting hurt.
And as pretty kind of much callous as it may sound, if it's just online and not something that's in real life, the dangers to him are considerably less than him doing something like that in real life and continuing to pursue that.
There we go.
All right, so no extra cookies for us. We got to read these better so we get all the max cookiness out of this.
Maximum cookies.
All right, so my turn.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that didn't get Vanta to look. I don't know what will. I think he's in headphone land.
He's playing video games.
Let's see. So I heard you'd like content off topic. Once again, late. My apologies.
I love content.
Salutations once again, my furry friends, my only friends, the end. That Doors reference probably doesn't work quite so well without being sung. Anyways, once again, I'm off topic this week. I thought I'd offer up a debate topic. Do you think that the Fantastic Mr. Fox has fully trumped Disney's Robin Hood for the title of best furry movie ever? Question mark. I believe it has, and don't let nostalgia cloud your judgment. Also, feel free to use any music on my FA for intermissions. Anything that isn't in scraps is probably decent. It's still a bit mellow for the fandom's usual taste. Also, thanks for Shiva for your recommendations. I had indeed not heard of Richard K. Morgan. It seems to be right up my alley. From Malignant Slurpee. Let's see. Basically, clarifications on my previous emails. Basically, I'll reply to that one. Okay. So, glad you like Richard K. Morgan. I think he's awesome. He's also got a fantasy series. It's actually has a gay main lead? What's that term? Protagonist?
Protagonist is the main character.
Okay. So, the main character is gay. It's a hardcore fantasy novel. Not quite, it's not as deep into it as, say, Lord of the Rings, but it's definitely a fantasy settings. And he handles them really well. So it was one of those ones that other half Siam read it first, said, this is a really good book. It's got gay sex in it, and it's making me kind of uncomfortable, and I'm not sure if I should read that part, but I love the rest of it. My mate is very straight, so it made him uncomfortable. So yeah, he's got good other stuff, not just the cyberpunk stuff. So Fantastic Fox versus Disney's Robin Hood. Have you guys seen both?
I have not. It's probably on Netflix. And Netflix is still around, so.
I've seen both. Fantastic Mr. Fox is okay. It's kind of quirky. And it's kind of funny and offbeat, but they're two completely different things. It's like comparing apples and meatloaf. They're both food, but that's about it. Mr. Fox is kind of, I think it's a French one that they redub with like Clooney and such. And you can tell it's French. Just, it's got that slightly offbeat characterizations. It's a little bit hyper-realistic. Where Disney's Robin Hood is Disney's Robin Hood. I personally, out of the two, like Robin Hood. I like Mr. Fox, but if I had two sitting in front of me and I had to pick one over the other for something to watch, it would be Robin Hood, hands down. I wouldn't go away from Mr. Fox. And I'd say, tell people, go ahead and watch it. But if I had to make a choice, Robin Hood, hands down.
I have not seen it. I have considered seeing it, but I have not been in a setting where it has been up for watching.
It's at least something to see once. Yeah. You know, and then see if you like it. And Clooney did an okay voice job for it, but it is very French. That's the only way to put it.
Okay.
At least I think that's the French one. So, yeah.
All right.
Oh, hey, there's a name on that chest. Cool.
What?
There's a chest over there, and I just noticed that there's a name on it.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
That is
something shiny flitted by it.
Yes, it's Panther's Pandora's box.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, archiving that one and passing the torch.
Pass the torch.
Living in the middle of nowhere. Hello, Notcast. Reasonably new listener here, and I'm sorry if this is off topic, but I was wondering if you could help me with a problem I have. Now, first off, let me say that I've never had a girlfriend or boyfriend, since I now swing both ways, in my entire life, and I watch as all my other friends seem to pick up girlfriends and make it look like it's really easy. Now I live in the middle of nowhere, and the town that I do live in doesn't have many other people that have the same interests that I have. I've had a few failed attempts at trying to get a girlfriend. They failed either because the girl was uninteresting, or I never had the balls to take it past the just-met stage. This is where my other friend comes in. He has a natural ability to pick up the chicks and get the attention of them before he even walks through the door. We even joke about him being a slut, as if he dumps a girl, he will always have 6 more waiting in line. All of the girls that I've had some interest in, I've heard through other sources that they're all interested in my friend, which generally makes me think that I don't have a chance. But anyway, back on the topic. My interests are the typical furry nerd, so I like gaming, artwork, all stuff furry, and electronic music. But as I live in a town that either likes the girly pop songs or the reggae R&B and is currently stuck here due to my debts and my job, I don't think I would be able to find one without being a creepy stalker. I generally suck at conversations and can't get past the whole "how's your day been" part of the convo. Convo? Convo.
Conversation, short one.
I know, I've heard it. I think it was in Stranger Than Fiction. It was just, anyway. Do you guys have any tips or tricks to see how I can get a girlfriend or even a boyfriend that has similar tastes to me? I do have a very special friend, one that I would consider being in a relationship in, but he lives on the other side of the world in Europe, and I live in New Zealand. In fact, he was the one that made me realize that I was, in fact, bisexual. While I do love him and will do for a long time, I yearn for someone I can hug physically that isn't family. From Bitorcus, the Royal White Griffin. P.S. I am a virgin of all kinds, and as a bi-Christian, yes, that combination works. I generally don't want to break that until marriage or something similar.
So, how to get a girl in the boonies?
Oh, goodness. Is that
what it kind of boiled down to?
Yeah. Nowadays, internet dating sites.
Yeah.
You may not find someone in your town, but somewhere nearby.
Or a bit of a, at least within the same continent. New Zealand is, large island? It's not a continent. New Zealand, compared to some of the other countries, is not exactly huge. It's a decent landmass, but it's not gigantic, so it's not like commuting from New Jersey to California to see someone. You said part of it yourself. You haven't taken it past the just met step when you thought that there might be a chance. And just because the gals are interested in your friend doesn't mean they also aren't interested in you. It can be, you know, it's not a yes, no, single interest thing.
I like this person. I can therefore like no other people ever for the rest of my life.
Or at least until you flip that switch from binary to open to close, you know. So, yeah.
See, I crush all over the place. I'll generally have, like, 2 or 3 people that I think are awesome and I'm totally crushing on. It never goes anywhere. Don't expect it to. But it's fun to crush.
Yeah. It happens. So, anything to you to add? How do you meet Chick Saverin?
probably the internet. I mean, it's one of the things when you're in a small town. I mean, you can if you're going to a church, you can probably meet a chick there. She might fall in line with your values. If you're living in a small town, your options are somewhat limited. I mean, the internet's always a great place to look. Maybe find someone similar, local.
Yeah, there's always the look for furry meetups. I mean, I don't know if there's any in New Zealand. It depends on where you are and how much ability to travel you have.
I mean, so. You're in New Zealand. I mean, you've got a nice country, at least.
It is pretty.
It is pretty.
There's also the potential of you have other geeky interests. Try pursuing some of those fandoms and see if you can find people local who are within those fandoms that may be less niche, more broad spanning, I suppose.
So yeah, geek away and follow your geekness, whether it's to furry or other to geekiness. Star Wars, anime, fantasy, what have you. After all, you've got all those hobbit holes out there.
goodness me.
Are there actually places that use the term hobbit hole as a reference for genitalia?
There probably is some kind of, you know.
Let's go down the hobbit hole.
I want to stick it in your hobbit hole.
Aww. You hurt. I hurt. You hurt me.
Top 10 podcast, TV, and film. Oh, I'm just trying to find some information on some numbers.
Okay.
Because the question is, this is one question that's out there that it's like, okay, in terms of shows that are out there, what download numbers are they seeing? And I don't know a lot of podcasts that actually give that kind of information out.
Mm.
Because they don't want to seem like they have a small audience or they have, you know, this, you know.
Well, the alternating would be they don't want to seem like they have a small audience. But if there aren't other numbers out there, then that would be hard to really say. Or they don't want to seem like they're, like...
Boasting
about their big numbers.
And you don't want to have to be a boast-buster and,
Also wonder, are there bots that trawl the internet downloading podcasts?
I don't know. It's like, there's just plenty of shows out there, and I was just wondering if there was a reliable way to find out what people were downloading, or, you know, people, like, submit that kind of information.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm just being weird.
So
don't mind me.
Archive this. The little, it looks like an...
Yeah, the little box up top.
It looks like a little trash box.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, next email, huh? That'd be me, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Okay. Dear Notcast, over the years of all the laughs, advice, and companionship you've brought to the fandom, never once have we seen an official Notcast video. I was just wondering if maybe you might do a video episode on New Year's Eve. I was talking about the cast with a friend, and we both thought it'd be a great idea. Have happy days. Your Alaskan snow leopard, Sandfire. P.S. A shout-out to Keon Foxwolf. So given. So, Shiva, why don't we do a video podcast?
I think you said it well.
We have faces for radio. That's right.
As in, you don't want to see them. We're nerds.
Yeah. If you see us at cons, you'll probably see why we don't do videos.
If you want to see us, come to cons. Then you can see us.
Come to OklaCon. It's a little bit away.
Because OklaCon is awesome.
And Furry Fiesta is awesome.
And yes. Notcast will be there, too.
Yep. Which will be nice. Yes. Maybe.
So is that last one an actual email, or...?
Well, that one was just sort of a really quickie...
Oh, okay.
There's three emails left. Just plow through them.
Oh, okay. Here.
Excuse me.
I pass the torch back.
So his iPad is a new...
It's the town bicycle.
It's like the Olympics.
Well, no, it's just the town iPad.
So, archive that one. Let's see. Did I archive the wrong one?
I don't know. There's actually...
Which one is
this one? Oh, wait. I think he sent it twice. There's only two emails left.
Oh, okay.
So there's...
So archive that one, too.
A straight gay, and then there's the other one.
All right, so...
From Sandfire.
A straight gay. I have a problem. There's a straight guy I've known for years, and we've been good friends, but he never knew I had a crush on him. One Friday night, or as I like to call it, everyone get drunk at my house night. And near the end, everyone was gone except him. So we played cards, my body started to tingle, and I thought it was just cold. Next thing he knew, he asked if I wanted to suck his dick. I was shocked and then started trembling. That night we had sex, and I felt content. The next morning I slept in to recover from losing my virginity, but later visited him. He was drunk, so I wanted to know if he remembered, and in a twist of fate, he said he didn't want to talk about it in a remorseful tone. I was crushed. In the next 5 months, we fucked 4 more times, and I learned that each time hurt him inside, and he didn't want his family thinking he was gay. I don't know what to do. I have a mate, but we're open, but I can't help but love my friend. I feel like a terrible person for my confliction. The optimist inside me says there is a small chance he loves me back, but the pessimist says, why would he like a guy like me? What should I do? What can I do? I know I'm still young and I have my whole life to find love, but how do I deal with this? You're extremely confused, sad, slightly bipolar, Wesky, Ember. Dude, I'm sorry. Both sides of this equation is rough. Whether you're the person who's having problems dealing with their sexuality or the person who's basically being torn by their, what do you want to call it, their flame, watching them wax and wane between, you know, I like you and, oh my God, I'm, you know, you're horrible for me. That's a rough place to be in. You want to?
Oh, I'm just thinking, it's like, you know, I'm looking at this email and, you know, it's going to these guys that he feels that he can only really let him, he might be one of those guys that really can only admit to themselves that they like dudes when they're drunk. Oh, no, man, no, they're just the alcohol. People like that have to come to terms with their shit and are not healthy to be with. They're just not.
You can be there for him. You can help be supportive of him. I don't know if I'd fuck him again. But if... He's got a lot of baggage to work through. I mean...
Yeah. It's not you. It's him. It really is. That if he has... If, you know, every time he ends up drunk and remorseful...
That's rough for him to go through.
And didn't want his family thinking he was gay despite the fact that you... fucked him 5 times while...
Yeah.
That kind of self-loathing, it's no good. And people like that really have to work themselves out until they're good to have a relationship with.
Whether it's they decide that never again, or they work through their feelings and go through enough support groups of realizing being gay is okay, and whatever their family thinks, well, they gotta make that choice. So if your friend is bi and he decides not to pursue any more gay relationships, that's his choice, and he's got to kind of live with the consequences either way.
So just yep.
Be an ear for him, be a shoulder to cry on if he chooses to go that way, and just, you know, do what you can.
Next email, or?
I don't think that there's anything more I can add. You?
Okay.
Yep.
So, next email. A letter for me? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Dear Notcast, again I turn to you for advice. Someone I know left me a note in my locker asking if I would go to homecoming with him. This is not a problem as I'm bi, but the question for me is how do I handle it? Keep in mind that it might be a misplaced note, and to me, he doesn't seem gay, but that could be nothing. Also, if he is asking me, I'm not ready to come out yet, and I know how to handle that sort of thing.
He does or doesn't know how?
The way it reads, I'm not ready to come out yet, and I know how to handle that sort of thing. Your Alaskan Snow Leopard. Sunfire, P.S. Sorry if I sound like a downer. It's as if Murphy's Law wants to kill me slowly.
Hmm. Might want to just go up to him. Did you mean to leave this in my locker? Because I'm not sure if you're aiming for somebody else's or if you mean me. And be just try to be really open and approachable. Maybe even a little bit of smiles. Like, so if he meant it, if he laughs it off, then that's fine.
See, I don't think that would work.
No?
I mean, this is probably a high school thing, pretty young. And if you ask somebody a question like that in high school, they're going to deny it.
And it also is, it could be somebody else's idea of a bad joke. Put his name on it.
So,
stick it in your locker.
What I would do, and this is purely my opinion, is leave a note in return, things like, you know, if you're serious, drop me an email and give them an email address to email you at and maybe have a correspondence that way. Because if you ask, like, publicly at school, you're not going to get an answer out of them. Nobody in there, no high schooler, nobody like that in that age is going to answer in a straight face and it's in a direct answer.
Well, and the other half of that is that the email writer said that he's not ready to come out. So going to him and asking would be a less confrontational way of saying no. Because if you go up and you say, did you mean to leave this in mine? And the guy's like, ha, 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 no. Then the question never comes up, and you don't actually have to deal with outing yourself or not.
Yeah, fair enough.
Now, if he says yes, that's a whole nother...
Yeah. I think that, you know, getting a line of communication open would probably be better.
What about taking it to email?
Yeah, like I said, leave him a note saying, hey, if this is for real and serious, contact me, you know, via email and we'll chat. And then...
Yeah, it was something non-confront.
I mean, it could be a trap. I don't know.
It could be a joke. It could be...
It could be someone, oh my God, look at this dude.
Yeah.
But...
Just go carefully.
And to resolve it, you're going to have to take a risk.
Yeah.
Or else just ignore it and let it ride.
Actually, if he says yes, he could just say, sorry, I can't, and just leave it at that and not say anything more about it.
Well, or he said he wasn't ready to come out, so maybe just ignoring it might be a good idea, too. You know, it's hard to say.
Hmm.
It really just comes down to, is this legit? Is this a joke? If it is a joke, was it done by him or some other dude? So. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, well, so, yeah.
That is it for the emails?
That's all the emails.
It's 11:30. We got a late start, though, so that's okay.
But thankfully, it's Friday as opposed to Thursday night, so we're not like, oh God, I've got to go to work tomorrow.
The usual Thursday problem. I'm like, problem.
Yay, I get to wake up and watch an episode of Ponies in the morning.
I'm going to stick my ass in.
I get
imagine I'm probably going to be up until like 4 or 5 a.m. because I usually am on a...
Whatever tonight is.
Yeah, it's Friday. I'm usually up fucking late tonight, and then...
Sounds exciting.
I'm up late, fucking or otherwise, on Friday, and yeah, probably gonna go home, see the mate, watch some TV, maybe play some WoW.
Sounds exciting.
I wake up and then go back to sleep, and then wake up and then go back to sleep.
For those not cast listeners that are readers, there's a book I discovered this week. It's called The Cloud Road. And give me 1 second, I'll tell you. It's not a furry book, per se. I mean, it's not by a furry writer like Kyle Gold or any of that. But it's a really interesting one. It's basically this person was abandoned / orphaned as a child. Has been kind of creeping from society to society, keeping what he is secret because He's a shapeshifter. Kind of, they aren't super clear on what they look like, but it sounds kind of like scaly, dragony, kind of big lizardy. I mean, they talk about thick scales and wings and, you know, really lizardy looking thing. It kind of struck me as being kind of bipedal dragony. So you've got them, you've got another race. And it's, so far, it's really addictive, and at least having shapeshifters and mixed with other races with slightly animalistic traits, so far it's been really good, and it's not by any major author, and I've been trying to find the name of the person who wrote it. It came up on my Amazon recommendations just randomly, and it had really, really good reviews. So, I have birthday money, so I got it, and I just really liked it. Let's see. I think it's Martha Wells, if this is the right one. It's called The Cloud Roads. Yep, The Cloud Roads, and it is by Martha Wells. And surprisingly, so far, addictive, really good read, and it's got kind of animal people in it, so.
Yay, animal people.
Well, yay. Animal people podcast, so.
Well, no, I didn't. I meant that. I'm sorry. I meant that as, yay, animal people. I'm sorry if my tone came out wrong.
You're forgiven. Not that there's anything to forgive, but, you know. Anywho, that's my one little, you know, segue. I found a random good book I wanted to share.
Books are awesome.
Yes.
Alrighty. So, on that note, good night.
And big balls.